At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, November 14th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com as well as all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Remember, thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I am from the Pod Cave, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Going to go around the room and introduce my co-hosts like I do each and every week here. Starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I'm well, my friends. It's wonderful to be back for another week of mindless entertainment.
Yeah, and entertainment is on the plate here tonight. But before we get into tonight's show, from the Rob the Genius Podcast, he is the host of that show. He is the minister of, God bless it, I just screwed up your entire intro, Rob.
Truth.
Oh, my God, my whole freaking track. My brain literally skipped a track and flew right off. Oh, my God.
The Deacon of Data.
He is the Deacon of Data, the father of facts and figures, the whatever he is Ray Cash's daddy, the official suit bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob is yawning. He's already set this show off the rails. Sir, how are you, man?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sleepy, but I'm okay.
Buddy, it has been that kind of week, let me tell you. You know, let's do, before we kick the show off here, let's go around the room and do, we haven't done a mental health check-in in a while. Rob looks tired. I'm exhausted. I've had a rough week. Jason, let's start with you. How you doing, man?
Tired. Yeah.
Tired. How's the new job, Bubba?
It's awesome, but it's heating season. You know, it's cold. So when you're an oil company and you service people who have oil-based heat and other such accoutrements, it's busy when it's cold in New England. So, it's just been a nothing else exciting or anything going on in my life. Just work's just been sucking it out of me.
You know? Are you like
just in a good way though? I still love the job. I love the people. I love, you know, all that. Just, you know, after a day of work, I'm like, okay, that was a full 8 hours of nonstop.
Yeah. Now, are you like fully on the ground running, or are you still getting acclimated there?
For what I do in my little corner, I'm on the ground running.
You're on the ground running. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, learning a new thing every week, so it's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Rob, I know you're tired, man. What's got you tired?
Well, because the weather's changing here, so which means we got to turn on, like, the heat and all that stuff and then somehow pull out the blanket. And blankets are, like, my kryptonite. So, and so is turning on the heat. I mean, I like it warmer, but the other side of it being warmer is it puts me to sleep really fast.
And Rob's couch has like this mysterious aura about it. Like, I can't tell you how many times in chat we'll be talking to Rob, and all of a sudden Rob will just go, like, MIA for, like, 2 or 3 hours. And then he'll come back. He's like, man, the couch got me again. He's like, a couch and a pillow and the blanket, and Rob's in a coma.
That especially happens, like, what happens on Mondays, and ironically it happens when the wrestling shows are on, because, like, I'm sitting in front of a TV for 2 or 3 hours at a time, which which is just begging me to fall asleep.
My couch must have a little bit of the same magic that yours has, because I tell you what, on Friday afternoons, by noon, I've put in at least 40 hours. I get off at noon, I come home, and sometimes I'll have these grand designs. I'm like, I'm going to go work on one of my models, because I'm into this model-making hobby now. So I'm like, I'm going to go home and work on my models, or I'm going to go home and play video games. And I hit that couch, out for like an hour. And my girlfriend, Tina, she gets so mad at me because she works till like 3:30, 4 o'clock on Friday. So sometimes she's in the home office because she works from home, and she'll hear me snoring out on the couch while she's working. So, and especially this time of year in Florida, it's cooling off a little bit for us, and we'll get a nice, if we get a nice cross breeze coming through the house, man, if I hit that couch, I'm done. That's it. I'm just out cold.
My wife uses that sleepy time tea. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's a lavender and bend with tons of what's that stuff that puts you to sleep. What's the word?
Starts with chamomile.
Chamomile. Nope. All not right. What I'm thinking of.
That's anyway, sleepy time tea's good shit, pal.
The logo of it is there's a bear who's sitting in his little pajamas and his nightcap, and he's having a nice snooze in the recliner. And every time I see it, I think of Rob.
We have a box of that sleepy time tea sitting in our pantry right now.
No, it's good stuff.
It is. It's really good stuff. I swear by it. If I don't want to take like a Benadryl or, you know, a CBD or something, which right now the CBD is out of the question, and I'll get into that in a minute. I'll just have some of that sleepy time tea, and I will be that or tension tamer. Have you guys tried the tension tamer?
No.
Now, tension tamers, it's not like a sleep, put you to sleep. It's more like a kind of mellow you out, kind of calm you down. Tension tamer's another good one. CBD for me, Rob and Jason know this. For those of you who have been listening to us for more than, I don't know, 6 months, you know, at the beginning of the year, I had a situation where I had been offered a job at the Veterans Administration in the line of work that I do, which is ophthalmology, healthcare. If you followed the saga, basically, I was offered the job, went through all the hoops, did everything I was supposed to do, was ready to get if you've ever dealt with the government, they do a tentative offer. You go through all your hoops, your background check, your drug testing, your labs, all that crap. And then they make you an official offer. And then from there, you do all your onboarding. Well, we were done with everything except the official. This is how much we want to pay you. This is what we're going to give you. We were right there. And then the entire like VA system went on a nationwide hiring freeze at the 11th and a half hour. So I ended up having to go back to work where I was, which is fine. You know, they pay me well, and, you know, it's been a good living. Well, the VA job, the hiring freeze is over. They had another person put in their notice and leave. So that job came back as an offer to me. And so I have tentatively accepted that. And this time they made a cash offer. So this is actually further along in the process than I was before. So we're there now. And now I'm just kind of playing the waiting game. It's like I'm still in that, okay, don't give notice yet. They're still finalizing the background check and everything. So I've had a bit of stress where that's concerned, and then just some personal life things. This week has been rough. I ended up taking a personal day yesterday, just kind of a mental health day. And then, you know, I've got tomorrow. So I'm wiped out, and I'm looking at this weekend. I've got so much stuff to do around the house. So it's been a long week. I'm ready to chop things up with my friends here, have a good time tonight. We have a fun show lined up here. We're going to do a couple things. Last week, while we were talking about everything, one of the things that we teased, our friends over at Three Count Thursday posed a question on one of their social media accounts. And we were going to talk about that last week, but the episode ran long. We did a watch long. We got involved in some fun discussions about our favorite DC animated movies and, you know, some other things, some topics Rob brought up. So we wanted to get back into this week because we did, you know, tease it, didn't deliver, and we don't like to do that. the question from the boys over at Three Count Thursday. If you're drinking a beverage that's in a 20-ounce container or smaller, be it bottle, can, etc., do you pour it in a cup or do you drink it from the container? And I thought that was a pretty good topic. It was a pretty good question that we wanted to turn into a topic. Let's go ahead and start with that. After we're done with this segment, we're going to go into another edition of Smash or Trash, and we're going to keep with the beverage theme. I have a whole list of beverages, going to go around the room and discuss that with everybody, see what everybody likes, what they don't like. And then we're going to wrap up the whole show talking about the WWE's implementing of a women's mid-card championship. Finally, women's U.S. championship. We're going to talk about that at the tail end of the entire episode. But let's get into this, guys. The question from Three Count Thursday, 20-ounce beverage, can, bottle, whatever the case may be. Do you pour that out? Like, Rob, do you drink soft drinks at all? Coke, Pepsi, whatever?
Occasionally. I don't know. Okay. Like I used to. I drink a lot of bottled iced tea.
Okay. So are you an out-of-the-bottle guy, or do you pour it in a glass?
Yeah, I drink out of the bottle. I don't pour it. Unless the only time I pour in a cup is if I'm only want like a little bit. But if I'm drinking the whole thing, then I just drink straight out of the bottle or a can or whatever.
Okay. All right. So we'll come back. I got another question where that's concerned. Jason, what about you?
If I'm anywhere at home, I'm out of the bottle. But if for some reason we bought 20-ounce bottles or I had one in there, I'm a tall glass of ice guy no matter what. So if I'm at home and I have it available, yeah, I'll throw it in a glass with some ice. But not always. Sometimes I'll just grab the bottle and sit on the couch and have 20-ounce. So, okay. No, it's not a need to get it out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not a big ice guy. I prefer like to put stuff, drink it out of the refrigerator, keep it cold that way. I'm not a big ice guy.
Yeah, I don't mind ice in certain things. Like if I'm drinking Coke from like a 2-liter, I'll pour it in a glass, over some ice, unless the 2-liter's already cooked. If I keep it cold in the refrigerator, then it's, to me, refrigerator cold is cold enough. To me, the ice waters down the soda, waters down the drink, whatever I'm drinking. I don't drink a whole lot of Coke anyway. Sometimes if Tina and I are out running errands or just having like a day date or going shopping or something, we'll pick up like a 20-ounce Coke and we'll split it. And that was kind of where I wanted to go with this. Jason, you're married. You have your wife. Do you guys share from the same bottle, or is that like a no-fly zone for you?
I mean, we will, but it's not. If we go, and it's more so just we're both picky. Well, I'm more picky than her.
Yeah.
So if we go to the convenience store or whatever, it's just like, yeah, we each get our own drink.
Okay. At home, we eat
out of the same ice cream container. We just take spoons and all right, however much ice cream you want, have a couple scoops and put it back.
Yeah. And Tina and I are kind of the same way. And it's like, I don't drink a whole lot of Coke. I might have 8 to 10 ounces of Coke once a week, maybe. I'm just not. I try not to take in that much sugar, but if we, like I said, if we're out and about, we'll split from the same bottle. Rob, I know when you were married, did you and your ex have a problem drinking out of the same bottle, or was that a no go?
Good question. I don't remember.
You don't remember? Okay. Okay.
I don't ever recall getting into an argument or that type of thing. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a problem with anybody, even my ex-wife, ex-girlfriends, things like that. I think it's like, you're already at risk of being gross. You're already swapping spit. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, all right, we can drink after each other. It's not a big deal. And if she's got a cold, I'm going to get a cold anyway. So it's just going to be what it is. Yeah. Side quest, soda, if you drink it, do you prefer can or bottle?
Can.
Jason?
Yeah. They're both going to end up in a glass, probably, if they're at home. But that's tough, because generally, unless you get to find a tall boy, you get more, in a bottle. So I usually go for the bottle, actually. But yeah. An ice cold bottom of the as we've mentioned this on the show before, an ice cold bottom of the cooler, sitting all day in the ice and in the ice slush. That can is one of God's great gifts.
Yeah, there's nothing beats a bottom of the cooler all day ice cold can of Coke. Oh, like that is just heaven in a can, man.
There is one thing, and it's only because Coke cheats, and this has a separate, it has a different ingredient. But a Mexican Coke glass bottle, same situation at the bottom of the cooler.
Yeah,
I've had that a couple of times, and obviously it's made with the cane sugar. So that Mexican Coke, if you've never had it, go get one this week because it's a whole different experience for Coke.
I don't even know if I've ever heard of Mexican Coke. Like, is it actually called Mexican Coke?
It usually just has the. You'll find them. 50% of them will be in English and 50% of them will be in Spanish. Of the ones I've seen in convenience stores. And anytime you see that tall glass bottle of Coke, 99% of the time it's a Mexican Coke, which is Coke made with cane sugar instead of corn syrup.
I don't know that I've ever actually had a cane sugar Coke. If I have, I don't know it. So that'd be
if
pretty
you had
interesting.
Coke from a glass bottle, you probably have.
I probably have because I've got one of the small Coca-Cola bottles up here that work friend of mine bought me about a year or two ago.
The like 10 ounce ones or whatever?
Yeah, the little 10 ounce ones.
Might not be then.
Okay.
Don't know. You got to go find one of those tall boy bottles. Go to your local convenience store. I'm sure they'll have them in the cooler.
I'll take your advice. I might have to do that next time we get a Coke. I might have to pick up a Mexican Coke because that is a thing that I was not aware of until this episode.
Happy to help.
Oh, thank you, Jason. So I don't think there's much more we can kick around about that. Again, I want to thank the guys at Three Count Thursday for giving us that little bit of inspiration for a little bit of a topic. What it did do was kind of explode this into a larger topic. We did an episode of Smash or Trash here a couple months ago. We had AJ Belaz on here and had a lot of fun with him. And I thought we'd bring that back around. I got a good response to that. We had a lot of fun with it. So I thought I would do Smash or Trash Beverage Edition. And this is, I tried to find just like a mixed kind of array of different types of drinks and just try to, because I didn't want to go strictly alcohol. I didn't want to go strictly soda or anything like that. I kind of tried to mix it up a little bit. And we're going to kick this around, go around the room here. I'm going to start with, we'll start simple. We'll start with Jason. Milk, smash or trash?
Smash.
Smash, okay. Rob?
Yeah, smash.
Smash, okay. So we've got three smashes on milk. I drink milk at least three or four times a week. Next up, OJ. Rob?
Smash.
Smash, okay. Jason?
I gotta be honest, trash.
Trash? Wow. Okay. Jason,
like,
trash.
I'll drink it if it doesn't have pulp. I'll drink it, and like it's fine.
But that's me. I don't do pulp.
Oh yeah, I don't like pulp.
Either. Yeah, get this pulp out of here. But I've mentioned, of course, you know, as probably is a personality trait of mine at this point. Orange as a feature in another juice is wonderful.
Okay.
We said OJ, the first thing I thought you want to ask is guilty or not guilty.
Rob really is tired tonight.
Good
God. OJ was guilty.
OJ was guilty. OJ was absolutely guilty. All right. In that vein, apple juice, Jason.
Smash.
Smash? Okay. Robert?
Hell yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's three smashes for apple juice. So we're only actually kind of, and I only say kind of disagreement on the OJ, and that's because Jason, like me, differentiates pulp with no pulp.
Right.
Jason, sparkling water.
I try to drink it, but no, it's trash.
Okay. Rob?
Yeah, I'd rather just drink some damn ginger ale.
Okay, so that's a trash. This is going to be a three and out. This is a three and out on the trash because I'm not a big fan of sparkling water.
Well, like, what's the point? I just don't see the point.
Right. So probably a little bit of a cheat here. Rob, flavored water.
Same thing. I'd rather just give me some Kool-Aid instead. I don't want damn flavored water.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yeah, I'd rather just have Kool-Aid than flavored water.
Okay. Jason.
It depends. That, because they vary brand to brand to brand. Like, they really run the gamut of, like, how much flavor and how it tastes. So, for me, for water, it has to be just, like, a touch of some sort of flavor. If it's a flat water with flavor, then other than that, though, I'm with Rob at this point. I'd rather be drinking juice.
Yeah, I'm probably a trash on that as well. So that kind of kicks my side question out of the way. I won't even go there. Rob, are you a coffee drinker?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, side question. Do you take your coffee with cream sugar, flavored creamer, or drink it black?
I don't drink it black. Now, it depends on where I'm getting it from as to what I put in there, though. Like, if I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I don't get sugar in the Dunkin' Donuts coffee because I saw one of those videos and they load that shit up with sugar if you get sugar.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, I just get, like, the flavored cream if I go to Dunkin' Donuts. Starbucks.
What if you go to a real coffee shop?
What do you mean, like one of those highfalutin places where they got like
100? Where you places? Do it yourself?
Oh, I mean, if I go like the 7-Eleven or something?
Yeah, or just a nice one, you do it yourself.
Yeah, well, if I'm making it myself, I do just like cream and sugar. Yeah.
Okay.
That way, because, you know, I control how much sugar is going in there, right? So, it's not a bit, yeah. But if I'm ordering coffee from somewhere, then it depends on which place and, you know, if I'm making myself cream and sugar, yeah.
Okay. Jason, I take it you're a coffee guy.
Yes, sir.
All right. And again, do you like it flavored, non-flavored, black?
So hot coffee, I get black unless there's just like a flavor shot that like strikes my fancy. Then I'll get that, but I don't get cream or sugar. And then for iced, I usually get one cream, one sugar, or one cream and couple shots of whatever flavor I want.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely a coffee drinker, man. And when I was in New York, there was a grocery that I used to go to, and it's specific to the city. I think they're called Fairway. I don't know if they're still open anymore. But I got in there one day and the guy who sells the coffee also, like, they roasted their own coffee right there. And it was really cool. He and I got to talking one day and he was talking about, you know, Starbucks. Of course, you know, Starbucks is trash. Dunkin' is trash. It's all trash. he was one of those guys, but just in talking to him, most incredible coffee I've ever had. And he told me how to do it correctly in a French press. And if I have my way, I will do fresh roasted, fresh ground French press coffee any day of the week over anything I've ever had anywhere. I'll stack it up against anything.
Now, we used to have a field office in Miami. And so we used to go down there sometime. And in the middle of the day, like, they would pass around like little shots of that Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
And brother, yeah, I mean, man, and it was just, they were just passing around shots of just black, you know, just in just little shot glasses. And they would, you know, and that was some good stuff. And that, man, that'll wake you up, man.
Oh, yeah, that's once in a while. The doctor that I work for currently, he did his training down in Miami. I think he was at Bascom Palmer, and he used to rave about the coffee. And every once in a while, he'll go down there and he'll bring some back and make some for the office. And oh, my God, it's so freaking good. It's such good shit, man.
Yeah.
All right. So we got three smashes for coffee, no matter how you take it. Let's stay in this, the breakfast drink type of thing. Jason, hot chocolate.
Oh, smash.
Smash. Okay. Rob?
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's a smash for me too. Here's one. We talked about this a little bit, just a little bit ago. Rob, hot tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I like all those weird flavors and shit. Just give me some regular, old Lipton tea bag and, you know, I'm good.
Now, do you doctor it up with sugar, honey, or anything like that?
Might put a little bit of sugar in it, just like a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, I think I know your answer. Hot tea.
No.
No. Okay. There we go. So it's the wife that likes the hot tea.
Yep.
I do. I love some hot tea. Tina's turned me onto that. And we have friends over in the UK, and they sent us over some tea from there. Holy crap. It's such good stuff. A little bit of cream, a little bit of sugar. It's so good. Sticking with potentially hot beverages, Rob, apple cider.
I don't dislike it, but I don't really bother.
You don't go out of your way to get it?
No.
Okay. Jason.
Brother, I went to so many apple orchards this fall. We love cider here in the Northeast.
All right. Jason's a smash. I am not a big fan of apple cider. I have yet to have it any way that, and to me, it's like extra spicy hot apple juice, and I just can't get with that. Tina
apple
loves
it. Apple cider donuts, though.
Huh?
Apple cider donuts, though.
That's that I can do, sir. That I can do. Apple cider donut all day long, but drink it? Nah, trash. Okay, let's get into some soft drinks here. Jason, root beer.
Smash.
Smash?
My grandfather used to make it.
That's cool.
If I have a Igloo cooler and some dry ice, I can whip up some root beer.
Very cool. All right. Rob.
Yes, absolutely. Love
it. Okay. Beer. Yeah. And I'm going to make it three because I love me some root beer.
Okay. Here we go. What's everyone's favorite root beer?
IBC.
Either Mug or A&W.
Barks.
I don't mind Barks. I like Barks. I like A&W and Mugs as well, but if you lined them up and told me to pick one, it would be IBC.
It's just a taste thing, obviously, and I like that they advertise it very well because the bite, I don't even know how to describe the flavor of it, but it's not as sweet, and it does have that deep kind of bite that just tickles me perfectly.
Wasn't that their advertising slogan for a while? Barks
got
bite.
Yeah, exactly. Barks got bite, and it's true. I mean, that's how I would describe that flavor profile. It's got a little bit of a bite to it.
Well, you can tell Jason was a child of the '90s.
Absolutely, brother. I was drinking Barks root beer while I was watching my Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pajama pants.
Well, listen to that guy, man. It is 1994 all over again. I love it. Let's stick with something similar. Cream soda. Rob.
Ooh.
No. Okay. We've got a trash on cream soda. Jason.
Smash. Any color, any variety, any brand, give it to me. But the greatest is blue cream soda. Frosty's blue cream soda is one of the best things going.
Okay. And I'm gonna make it two to Rob's one because I love me some cream soda. And again, the IBC of what I've had, the IBC is my favorite.
Shout out Barks Red Cream Soda too.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, you can only find it really out west.
Okay, I've never seen that here. All right, let's get into the alcohol here. Let's start, Jason.
Yes,
whiskey.
Smash.
Smash.
Oh, sorry, what?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But yes, whiskey is a definite smash. Shout out Johnny Walker. Shout out Glenn Levitt. Shout out, Jack Daniels.
All right. Rob, whiskey.
Yes, absolutely. Jack Daniels is one of my favorite drinks.
Excellent. And I am going to round that one out. Maker's Mark is my drink, man. It's so good. That's like, and I just found that within like the last year. I don't know how I've been missing this in my life for the, 30 years that I've been drinking. Rob, vodka. By itself, like straight, not like in mixed drinks.
Man, because when I was in college, we used to take shots of Absolut. I mean, I wouldn't do that now.
Oh, God. All right.
Today, I would say no.
That's okay. So it's trash today. Jason.
Vodka martini with a lemon peel, baby. I'm there.
Okay. So Jason's into the vodka. I am with Rob on the trash with vodka. Again, not talking mixed drinks. I'm talking just straight vodka. Like if you're doing shots, absolutely not, man. I can't.
Did y'all ever do the Jell-O shooters?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've done Jell-O shots. I made some killer Jell-O shots for my ex-wife's 40th birthday. We had, what did we get? I did some rum ones. I did some vodka ones. I did Everclear.
Oh, yeah.
I made them with Everclear. My brother, let me tell you something.
Florida man.
And I worked in healthcare. I've been working in healthcare for 25 years. I got these big syringes. They're like 30cc syringes. Oh, and I got like 20 of them, man, and made a bunch of different ones. And we were just right out of a syringe, man. It was awesome. It was such a good time. Jason.
DJ, I just want you to know you're my favorite Florida man.
I am definitely Florida man when it comes to certain things, and drinking Jell-O shots out of a 30cc syringe is very Florida man. Jason, rum.
Oh, see, yes.
Okay.
I do love, like whiskey, silver rum and silver whiskey, but forgot to shout that out. Big fan of silver.
Okay. Rum?
Yeah, Bacardi, yes, sir.
Okay. Oh. I am going to round that out. I am a pirate. For a while, rum was my go-to. Like, that's all I drank for the longest time. And there was one time I got the Parrot Bay coconut rum. And I was down in the Keys with some friends, and I had thrown it in the freezer, and it got this nice slush to it. So I was just sitting there drinking Parrot Bay right out of the bottle, like a slushy. It was incredible. It was so incredible. It was like a soul-changing experience. Jason, wine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah? I'm a red guy. I like a good Merlot. I like a good Merlot.
Okay. Rob?
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it. My dad used to drink Manischewitz, so.
Okay.
But, I'll drink a nice red.
Okay. Yeah, I like wine. Tina and I will drink a nice Moscato. She likes the sweeter bubbly wine. She doesn't like dry wine, so we don't drink a lot of that. I used to be into, like, the Cabernet when I was much younger. One thing I do like, and if you ever guys, easy for me to say, have you guys ever had mead?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Jason, you were a carny, you were a Rennie, so you know, you're probably very familiar with mead.
Yes, sir. It's not my favorite, but I'll drink it.
See, I love mead. If it wasn't for the cost of the honey, I would probably make my own mead.
I'm not a big honey guy, and I'm also not a big warm drink guy. So
yeah, I drink mead cold. I put it in the fridge.
Oh.
Yeah, we keep it refrigerated, man. I can't drink warm wine. I can't. It's got to be cold.
So to me, the honey taste, it would be even worse cold. But that's just because I'm weird with honey.
Okay. All right. Last one on the list here, and then we're going to open this up into a broader discussion. Jason, beer. I know the answer to this one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Rob, are you a beer drinker?
Yes, but of course it depends on the brand, but yes.
Okay. And I would say yes. I used to be a heavy beer drinker back in the day. Cut that out just for caloric and carb reasons as I got older and me not wanting to get a beer gut. But that was just the whole thing. Beer. So let's open this up a little more, because we got into a discussion in the Discord chat about different beers and the way we drink beers. And I disgusted Jason because Rob had mentioned he likes, and I'm in agreement with him, he likes the Sam Adams Boston Lager. And being a big Sam Adams fan, I chimed in and said that I love the cherry wheat. Like, their cherry wheat is probably my favorite. And I immediately disgusted my co-host Jason. Jason, you don't like the cherry wheat?
Now, please understand. I have been to the Sam Adams Brewery, and I've done that tour more than I've done anything in Boston, probably. So this is not to besmirch Sam Adams. Sam Adams started me on the journey to, hey, there are other beers aside from Coors Light, Bud Light, and Corona. So that, you know, but most fruit beers, unless it's a citrus, I'm out. So, like, even all the popular ones are, we have Wachusett Blueberry around here. I don't know if it's made it all the way to you guys. But we have a bunch of, you know, fruit beers that are, nope, I just can't do it.
That, funny you say that about Sam Adams, because that was my introduction to beers other than Coors, Michelob, Budweiser, stuff like that. And funny story, I was sitting at, it was my mom's side of the family. It was my my crazy conspiracy theory Uncle Mike. He's like crazy conspiracy theorist. And we were sitting there and we were talking about beers. And I was like, you know, I was like, I found, and Sam Adams had really only been on the market for maybe a year at this point. So we're going back quite a few years. And I was like, oh, yeah, I found this beer. I really like Sam Adams, blah, blah, blah. And of course, without missing a beat, he chimes in. He's like, oh, you're a victim of advertising. You're a victim of advertising. It's all the same. Victim of advertising. I looked at him. I'm like, you're drinking a fucking Michelob. And you're calling me a victim of advertising?
Jesus.
Get out of here with your beer-flavored water. You crazy-ass old man.
I was at the brewery so many times. We one time met Jim Cook, the man who started it all.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a religious experience, let me tell you, brother.
Oh, but if I ever make it up there, man, that's a bucket list thing to do.
Yeah, we're going. Oh, yeah. If you guys make it up here, that's one thing we'll definitely do.
Yeah, if there's ever like a pay-per-view or premium live event, DJ, 2024.
We get one every year, dude.
I know you do. I just got to – it always coincides with some shit I've got going on, and I'm like, damn it, I can't go again. So.
Seriously, the last two times, it was like you had like a rock concert one time and then someone else the other time. Well, or like
I think the time – 2 years ago, it was right around the time of Welcome to Rockville, which is in May. Right. And then there was another time where something else came up, and I'm like, if they're going to Boston, it's got to be like in the summer, because I can usually carve out some time between July and September to come up for like a long weekend, and they never seem to do that.
So, what were we supposed to get summer? What were we supposed to get during? And then COVID messed it all up. Were we supposed to get SummerSlam?
I think we had one of the big four.
I think because we had Survivor Series. I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, the Sam Adams tour has to be a thing for me. As far as like different, one thing, Jason, and Rob, you can answer as well. Have you guys tried the Angry Orchards? Like, and this is like an apple cider type of thing.
Yes. And their green apple one is fucking delicious.
Yeah, see, we just get the regular Angry Orchards. And we've tried some of the other ones. They're not bad. Like, they have one that's an unfiltered. It's not terrible. I mean, it's got an odd flavor to it. I think it was pear, which was pretty good. I'd have to ask Tina, but now let me ask Jason, because Rob, I know you said you haven't tried them. Jason, have you tried the Reds?
Reds Apple Ale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which one do you prefer, Reds or Angry Orchards?
Oh, Angry Orchards. Definitely.
Yeah, we're the same. We tried the Reds one time, and before we discovered Angry Orchards, they were fine. But once we found the Angry Orchards, we never went back.
Well, because Angry Orchards are a legitimate cider. The Reds are like an apple beer.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that makes sense. So.
Yep.
Yeah, because Tina's not big on beer flavor. Like, she's found a couple of beers here and there that she doesn't mind. But, like, the flavor of beer she does not care for, and that's why we switched to the Angry Orchards.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem?
Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
So, all right, I think that opened up a pretty good discussion. Another episode of Smash or Trash is in the can. Had a lot of fun with that one. We're going to go to commercial here in a couple minutes, but before we do, and guys, we're talking about this preemptively, but everybody will hear about it posthumously. The Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight is Friday.
Don't say that, dude.
What?
Posthumously means someone died.
Well, whatever. I'm tired.
Look, it's a very real possibility, you know?
Look, that is a four-syllable word. I just came up with a four-syllable word on a Thursday night. Give me a little bit of credit.
Oh, my God.
maybe I'm throwing it into the universe. DJ, don't say that stuff. Anyway. Right. It's terrible. All right, so what do we think, guys? Is the fix in here on this?
Okay.
What are we doing?
Is it rigged? No, I think both people know that basically Jake's going to hug him and run around, and Mike's probably going to swing at him and almost hit him with something really hard a few times. And it's going to go the distance, and it's going to be some wacky decision, you know, and it's, yeah. But,
okay.
But like a lot of people, we are all holding out hope that Jake will do something stupid, and that Mike will forget that he's not supposed to kill Jake, and then Mike will have a flashback to 1986. And remind Jake of why this probably isn't really a good idea for him to be doing this.
Somebody should lean in to Mike Tyson right before the fight starts, whisper, his name is Michael Sphinx, and let it go.
Oh, because look, man, me and my dad went to go see that fight on closed circuit TV. Okay, and thank God they had an undercard. because if we were in an arena with like 15,000 people watching it on like the big screen, and the fight was over 90 seconds, and they were serving liquor, and people were pissed off, and it was
man, that had to be a scene.
And look, as when the referee counted 10, my dad grabbed me and said, "We're out of here." He's got the 10. He's like, "Okay, we're good." Because he knew what would come. He knew that they were a bunch of pissed off drunk people who just paid a bunch of money to see a 90-second fight. He knew what was coming.
Robert Sr. didn't waste any time.
No, he said, "Okay, time to go."
Maybe I just am not in the right mentality as like a boxing fan, but I'm like, isn't that awesome?
Lesnar just comes out. How much they hype?
Boom, boom, boom! We're out of here.
If you're watching at home, it is. But if you paid way too much money to go see it in person, that is not awesome. Okay.
Okay, guys. Ask for the room again. Why is wrestling a work?
Yeah.
So stuff like that traditionally doesn't happen. True. But. Yeah, I remember. I didn't watch that fight, but I remember reading about it in the paper the next day, and they said like 90, like the caption was like 93 seconds with like Michael Sphinx's body laying in the ring. I'm like, what happened here? Like, because the hype behind it was you thought this was going to be like a 5-6-7 round fight, and it just didn't happen that way. Mike came out and like assaulted and just.
That was peak. That was him at his absolute peak.
Yeah.
And Michael Sphinx, like when he came out for the opening bell, he had this look on his face like, oh shit.
Now, that being said, that did open up the myth of Mike Tyson, and it got to the point where people were paying to see just how quick he was going to slaughter guys.
Well, yeah, because at that point, yeah, I mean, it was that's the thing. And because now, I mean, if you watch Mike's earlier fights when he was in shape and he was serious. Not only cause he knocked the hell out of you, but his mobility was just like next level, just like moving side to side, not getting
hit. He was fast.
Yeah.
He wasn't just power, man. Mike was fast.
Yeah.
Dude, like it was superhuman is the word you should use. Just because a man of his size should not have been able to move and fight with the speed and the precision that he did.
He was Brock Lesnar years before Brock Lesnar was.
That's exactly what
I was thinking. It's exactly. Like, he's a legitimate freak. Like, and I say that in all the nice ways.
Yeah. It's just like watching when we watch Brock Lesnar and when watching Brock Lesnar scale like the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Like watching Brock Lesnar do a moonsault, like back when he did.
Yeah, and just how fast Brock could like run down the aisle and run to the ring when he really wants to get down there.
Yeah, a guy that size should not be that explosive, and Mike Tyson was just like Lesnar is.
Yeah. So, I mean, you fast forward to today.
Fast forward to today. If the fight's on Netflix, which is awesome, and it's not any extra cost or anything like that, so that's wonderful. But if it was a $50 pay-per-view and there's some dumb undercard of people I've never heard of because I don't follow boxing, God forgive, and then, like, the bell rings and Jake gets blasted in 10 seconds, I'm paying my cable bill the next day if I got that thing on pay-per-view. Like, yep, thank you very much. Got what I came here for.
Well, now, in this case, I think this is the rare case where we all want that.
Yeah.
I guess
now the thing is, you know, Mike, he can't move side to side like he used to, but we're all hoping that Jake is dumb enough to stand in front of him for a few seconds.
And I hope he exposes that chin just long enough that he gets the goatee knocked off of him.
And an example of that was when George Foreman fought Michael Moorer, and George couldn't move anymore either. And, you know, Michael Moorer was just racking up points on him. And then, like, in one of the later rounds, Michael Moorer decided he thought he had to fight one. So he decided to get cute and stand in front of George. And George put him down, like, hit him with a 1-2 and just froze him, and then hit him with another 1-2 and put that man on his dick.
That fight I watched on pay-per-view. God, that was awesome. I was rooting for George because George was an old man at that point.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for George hard on that night, man. All of a sudden, because he's just getting worked, man. Just getting worked, overworked. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? And all of a sudden, kablam! I'm like, what?
Yeah. So
that was a great fight.
Yeah, well, so that's the chance that Mike has here. If Jake is dumb enough to stand in front of him for more than a few seconds, then, and Mike lands a couple on him, and Jake is going to be out of here.
Going to be fun. And by the time we air on the network, that fight will have already happened. So we'll know what happened, but it was just fun little thing to kick around here for a couple minutes and get everybody's thoughts. Let's go to commercial. When we come back from commercial,
talk about the fight.
What?
I never gave a prediction.
Oh,
I added a perspective for somebody else's.
Okay, I'm sorry. I skipped right over you.
So I think it's going to go the way of Pacquiao Mayweather 1 that I'm still angry that I got. It's going to be a lot of dancing around. Jake's going to do a lot of dancing around. Mike's going to let him do a lot of dancing around because there's an agreement that this is going to go to a certain round, if not to whatever, how many rounds it is, and just go to some stupid decision. I think some sort of fix is in. I don't think we're going to see any sort of knockout or anything like that, unless Jake gets really stupid with it. So, but I'm hoping not. Oh, maybe we'll see an honest to goodness fight. Here's hoping that, you know, we're not, you know, when this airs, it's not, you know, posthumously for one of these gentlemen.
Anyway, when we get back from commercial, we are going to be talking WWE's newly implemented Women's U.S. Championship. Finally, we have a women's mid-card title. We're going to kick that around, who we think might take it first, who we think should take it first, and what we think they're going to do with it. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. The holidays are coming. Got to buy gifts. People like T-shirts. You need a T-shirt. Your friends, your family, everybody needs a T-shirt. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, look at, browse, peruse, pick up a T-shirt from any one of your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Pick one up. The starving artist on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick it up in soft style. Again, that is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to commercial and we'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, and we are back after what feels like forever and a day and so many discussions across so many podcasts, including this one on multiple occasions. What are we doing with the women? Are we going to do more with the women? The women need something more than just six or eight women fighting for the two women's main championships. Let's give the girls on the undercard something to do. And finally, somebody listened to us. And this week they implemented a women's United States Championship over on SmackDown. Guys, okay, let's talk first about the belt. I'm not sure how I feel about the belt. On one hand, I was hoping they would come up with an original design for the women because it kind of feels lazy to just use the same design and call it a women's championship and just relabel it. Jason, let's start with you. What do you think? Are you okay with the belt, or did you want like its own look, its own identifying look?
Well, first off, because it's the 3D printed like new fancy style belt, I'm glad we're still doing that, and I hope they explore more designs like that in the future, because obviously they'll eventually remix some belt, and then. It's not the exact same design, so I love it because it's, you know, it's equal, but it's not a copycat, and I don't know, it strikes the right tone for me. It's right in the middle of that. It's not the same, but it's equal. I don't know.
Okay. All right, Rob, what do you think?
I don't really like that design, to be honest. Oh. Never been a fan of it. So, to that end,
I hope the Eagles beat the Commanders tonight.
Anyhow, I don't like that design. So, because I don't like that design, I don't like the design of the women's US title. If, you know, if it was the same, it was a design that I liked, then I'd be fine with it. But okay. I don't like that design. I'm not fine with it.
All right. And with Rob, that is going to be two trashes and one smash on the U.S. Championship design.
Hold on. Huh? If they went back to a more traditional design, like they went back to the dinner plate or they went back to, you know, the silver U.S. title, couldn't that be construed as like a step down?
Look, there's only one design for the U.S. Championship that I recognize. That's the one that from 1986, the NWA design 1986. Yep. That's the best U.S. title belt ever.
That's the one that Tully and Magnum fought over.
Yeah, and then Magnum and Nikita fought over. That is the best design ever, and nothing else compares to that. But, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. So I think I'm a little bit behind on the regular TV. I kind of know what's going on. Have they announced a tournament, Fatal 4-Way? Have they announced, or they've just announced the title? Somebody catch me up here.
They've shown the belt, and I believe they have announced that it will be contested between SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a dual branded.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. If they want to do a tournament, fine. If they want to do a six-woman ladder match, I'm fine with that. If they want to hold on and do it in like an elimination chamber type of thing. I'd be okay with that too. I think I'd be a hell of a good match to the inaugural champion.
Don't do a battle royal. Please, God, don't do a battle.
No, don't do a battle royal. Don't shortchange women like that. Let them show up. Let them show out. What I'm hoping for is that this ends up being kind of what the Intercontinental Championship has always been for the men, and it ends up being kind of the workhorse championship. And it's, you know, defended more regularly, and, you know, we get a more diverse amount of women competing for this thing. That's my hope, because WWE has a plethora of very, very capable women on its roster, between SmackDown, between Raw, between what they're building down in NXT. There's a lot of really, really good talent. And I think there's a lot of women who are capable of carrying that thing believably. The question is, who do we kick it off with? Rob, let's start with you.
Okay. It is vital that you have the right person win, because because when they did the Cruiserweight Classic, everybody was like, oh, this tournament is wonderful. Yay.
And then TJ Perkins.
TJ Perkins won the tournament. And then it was like, oh, great. TJ Perkins. Right. And that just basically, that belt, that title just.
It never recovered.
No, it didn't. It absolutely didn't.
I liked WWE, TJP.
I hated it, man. That dude was so bland.
See, okay, but his move, he popped me because of the video game thing that he got later, but then his moveset is like my favorite type of cruiserweight.
Oh, so. Bell to Bell, he's awesome.
It's just, he had no, like, he had no, first of all, nobody knew who he was.
No sizzle to the steak, as the boys say.
So basically, I didn't care, because I'm like, yeah, he's, forgive me, but he's the video game cruiserweight, guys. Don't overthink it.
Well, yeah, but it's just, you had this tournament where, like, Kota Ibushi and Grand Metalik and Mustafa Ali and all these guys, and Cedric Alexander, all these guys that, you know, that were, people were really excited to see.
I know. You and your friend Mark were really excited to see these guys.
Well, because they had some personality, and they were, and, okay, TJ Perkins was this.
You're going to tell me that a tournament
didn't have the detonation kick
that had Kota.
And you know what? He was selling the whole living in his car thing, and, like, you know.
I didn't give a shit. And then also,
to give them both credit, that finals match against Grand Metalik was awesome. They both let it rip in that match. And so, like, and he had, like, his chest was all beat up, right? From something earlier in the tournament. He's standing there with the belt, and he's all bruised, and it's like, oh, the kid who was living in his car. Oh, go look at this. You know, I mean, this is before we found out that he was a giant piece of shit human. But, anyway, so, like, well, yeah, at the time, the presentation, come on. TJP was the right call at the time.
Jason, you're talking about a tournament that had Kota Ibushi, Cedric Alexander, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, fucking Grand Metalik. You had talent, oodles and oodles of talent, and somebody in charge of this thing went, him. He's the winner. He's the guy. Like, how do you look at all those dudes, that entire field?
First of all, Kota was on a loan, right?
Well, yeah, and that's fine.
But Kota wasn't going to win it, but still.
So Kota was not going to win it. So did you want TJP to beat Kota Ibushi in the finals?
No, I wanted Cedric to beat Kota and Cedric to go to the finals.
Or Mustafa Ali.
And Cedric would have been just as good, and Mustafa Ali would have been just as good, because they all have wonderful stories.
Mustafa Ali is more interesting on accident than TJP ever was on purpose.
Yes.
But hold on, we didn't know that yet.
Even then, we knew that. I mean,
no. And they were selling the living in his car thing. You guys are.
Stop it.
They were doing the same thing with Rich Swann. You could have put Rich Swann over.
I guess so, but I'm just telling you that TJP wasn't the wrong choice. How about that?
I disagree. I disagree to disagree.
Okay, fair.
I think you were the only one clapping when the game.
TJP and Jason were the only two that were happy with that outcome.
And then he got the cool Mega Man entrance, man. It was cool. It was awesome.
All right. Rob, save this segment, please.
Look, this was like, you know, in SummerSlam 2016, okay, when everybody else was like, damn, she rolled up Sasha and won the title back, and I was like, yay!
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's steer it back into the Women's U.S. Championship. Rob, you were saying the right person has to win it.
And by right person, I mean it needs to be somebody who is already – who the audience is already interested in. Okay. Just cannot be, you cannot come out of the gate with the, oh, well, we're going to give this girl a belt and we're going to help her get over. No.
We're not going to, no offense, we're not going to Kehlani this thing.
No. We're not going to, you can't, no. Because if you put that belt on the wrong person, that thing will be on main event in 6 months. And not, that I don't mean the main event of Monday Night Raw. I don't either, okay. All right, so no, it's got
quick, Rob's talking about the YouTube show.
Yeah.
Quick addendum, if you look back in the tape on this show, we've all agreed that Kehlani took that run as far as she was goddamn capable of.
So, yes, this is not a knock on Kehlani. That was more just a playful jab at the situation.
Exactly. Yes. We've bemoaned that booking more so than the talent. A couple times on the show. We don't need to revisit that. But we do need to say that we all love Kehlani.
Yes, but it's just, it's got to be somebody that the crowd is already interested in. Because going back to the TJP thing, when they had him wrestle on Monday Night Raw, the crowd was dead.
Yep.
And so we don't want that because you don't. Okay, it's got to be somebody the crowd is already interested in. And I don't mean just like, and not like politely interested in somebody that they actually make noise for when they come out there. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Name names, Rob.
There are two names. Okay. If they want to go baby faces, Naomi. If they want to go to heels, be Chelsea Green. Period. End of story.
And then the other one should win it from them.
Yes. And then whoever doesn't, And then the other one, whichever one they go with, the other one should be the one to beat them for a few months later or whatever. Yes. Period. End of story. All right, there's nobody else there, and look, there's nobody else there that fits that criteria right now, okay?
And I like it because Chelsea is a certified mid-carder, and Naomi is a certified main eventer. And so it puts the exact right shine on the title. It tells you where the title is mostly going to be, but it also says we're not going to dick around with this thing either.
Yeah, and both of them get on TV pretty regularly already. Yep. And because we've seen with the women's tag team titles, when you put the women's tag team titles on the girls that don't get on TV very often, you know what happens? They still don't get on TV very often. So we've seen what happens when you do that. Okay. And yes, it sucks that means that there's some people who are deserving of the opportunity who probably still won't get it. Okay. And that sucks. Okay. But if you want this thing to get over, then you gotta, because this will be like the 10th main roster championship. And for those of us who are not like wired into this all the time, for the casual viewer, you need to give them a reason to give a shit about this. Okay.
Yeah.
So that when your favorite wrestler, whoever wrestled, you know, wins it, it will mean something for that wrestler.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, you know, and look, right, and then because, again, if you put it on somebody that they're not, the casual audience is not that interested in, then when they come out there to defend that belt, they're going to do what they would do if you know, in the other
They're going to sit there.
Or they'll go to the concession stand or they'll go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Could I throw a name in the hat?
Sure.
Dakota Kai.
See, I was thinking that.
I don't think she's there yet.
And that's why I think Triple H will do it. I really do. It should be Naomi or Chelsea. I think it's going to be Dakota Kai.
And that's I love Dakota Kai. She's one of my favorite.
I do too.
That would be setting her up for failure.
Heat her up first. She's just got back. Let her get going first. Seriously, do Chelsea, Naomi, then Dakota.
I think to me,
I think you could get Dakota there.
I mean, if she's like third in line to get it. Okay. I mean, if she gets it down the road, yes, but she should not be one of the, she should not be the first person to win it. No.
I'm saying down the line.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, see, we're talking inaugural though. I'd like the first woman to hold the belt. I agree with Rob. It should be Naomi or it should be Chelsea. One of the two. And then whoever didn't win it needs to win it from that one. I think those two women are the ones you build the division around. You kickstart it with those two women. You know, Naomi's as over as any woman in the company. Chelsea is absolutely killing it right now. I think the two of them could have one hell of a program for that championship. Chelsea's just full of ridiculousness, and Naomi can beat anybody on any given day.
Yes.
Hey, and if the speed deal worked out or the another thing with YouTube is in the cards, something like that, you could really crank out like a big tournament for this thing. Like you could get a lot of people involved, which would be pretty cool.
You could almost do it like another Mae Young Classic.
Yeah. You could.
You could even bring in some women from, bring in Jordan Grace. You know, bring her into the tournament. She doesn't have to win it, but, you know, bring her in, use her. Bring in a couple girls off the indies just to, if you're not going to use all your, if you don't think that your in-house roster is ready for that type of tournament, which if depending on how many women you're doing, if you're doing 8, you got plenty. If you're doing 16, now we're having a different discussion.
You might need a guest quarterback.
You need a couple of, you know, guest quarterback. That's exactly it. So you can bring like, you know, a Jordan Grace in there or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they play this out. I don't know how.
Oh, I have an idea. You could even do the finals as a special on the Peacock, and you could call it Evolution 2. And you could have only women's matches on the show.
Wow, that's a novel idea. You know what they'll probably do? The finale will be on Saturday night's main event.
No, I bet the Saturday. Oh yeah. Sorry. When you first said Saturday night's main event, I forgot that was an actual show again.
No, that's actually going to be a thing, Jason.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, it's actually going to be a thing again. I shouldn't shit on it because it's probably actually going to be a lot of fun.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, no, if it ends there, that's a perfect – it's going to be a legit PLE.
Yeah. So interesting. I'm glad they're doing it, and I hope that this gives – some much needed exposure to some of the other women. And for the people that are shoehorning Charlotte into winning that, stop, because you're telling on yourself.
Nobody was serious about it. They were joking.
Were they joking? No, because I, all over my timeline, you know how many different posts from different people who thought Charlotte should be the first one? And some of them, now hear me out, because I think some of them, it's not because they want Charlotte to win it. It's because they don't want Charlotte in the main event scene for the other championships. Because they don't want Charlotte taking the belt from their favorites.
I mean, her dad was a U.S. champion at times, right?
Well, okay, look, let me just say this. All of the big name women should get a turn with it at some point. Yes, they should, okay? Yes, okay. John Cena was U.S. champion in 2015, okay?
Yeah, but inaugural Charlotte? No.
Not inaugural, no, but I'm just saying somewhere along the line.
2028. Yeah, I'm kind of serious.
No, that's actually pretty realistic. Charlotte will be in her 40s. And
U.S. champion Charlotte. She does the exact same thing as Cena. I do not care. Get that woman on my television and wrestle in every week. Yes, sir. I'm seated. Got it.
Arguably, that was one of the best runs of Cena's career.
Yeah. So, look, all the big, the big names should all get a run with it because, again,
Roman Reigns was a U.S. champion recently, like in the last 10 years.
And Seth Rollins was Intercontinental Champion. And, okay,
it's okay.
Yeah, because you know why? Because, again, you want to keep the belt relevant, okay? The women's tag team titles are more relevant than they have been since their inaugural year. Why? Because Jade and Bianca are the women's tag team champions. Okay. And, you know, and that's why. Okay. And those belts are more relevant now than they've been since the first year they existed. Okay. And it's because of who holds them. Okay. So yes, I'm sorry. Who holds the belt? When you're talking about mid-card belts in particular, it matters who holds the belt. Okay. And I know that sounds kind of counter intuitive to the idea of creating a belt so some other people could have an opportunity. But at the end of the day,
it's them holding, it's people like Charlotte holding the belt, making it worthwhile when, so then later or whatever, Dakota Kai holds it. It means something because other superstars want this belt. In kayfabe, it makes sense. To the casuals, it doesn't look like a participation trophy.
And to be honest, look, some of these folks, your opportunity is going to be to get the challenge for the belt, okay? Whereas you weren't on TV at all before, okay? That's what it is, all right? Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn were not on TV. They were witness protection before they got the challenge for the tag team belts when Bianca and Jade had them, okay?
They're back there again.
Well, they had their shot. They got, I'm just saying that because if for anybody who's thinking that like every woman on the roster who doesn't get on TV right now is going to get a chance to hold this new belt, right? And that's not what it's going to be, folks. Okay. It's going to be held by people who basically are over enough to be doing something on TV, but just, they don't have
the top of the card's full.
Yeah, exactly. Because next year we're expecting Charlotte, Becky, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss to all be back. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be sitting at the world championship table. All right. And so yes, there are women like Naomi and Chelsea Green who will not have a seat at that table next year. All right, just being perfectly honest, they more than likely will not have a seat.
And then in 2 years, Charlotte might take a seat at that table for 3 months so that, something else can go on the top of the card. And also, hey, we do that stamping this belt thing again.
Yeah. So it's just like, that's what it is. And so the most important thing is to make this thing work. At least, that is the most important thing right now. And so there are, we've named two people who we think are the best choices to make that thing work out of the gate. And that's what it should be. And.
All right. Well, I'm just glad they finally listened. They finally got there and we're here now. And I hope it sticks. I hope the fans get behind it. I'm excited for it. I'm excited. We tease Rob about too many women on the wrestling show, but I defy you to find a wrestling podcast that is more supportive of women than we are. A lot of people support them. A lot of people are as supportive, but for all the jokes that we crack, we are absolutely in support of as much women's wrestling as possible. These women are killing it in ways that 20, 30 years ago, women didn't get these opportunities. We want to continue to see them get more opportunities, more TV time, equal play time, equal pay time. We're here for all of that. But the fans have got to support it. You guys got to get behind it. We stress this on this show.
Yeah.
Get behind these women. Stay behind the movement. Don't just hashtag it. Watch it. Tune in. Support it. Watch it. Buy the merch. That's when the companies listen, be it WWE, TNA, AEW. They listen when you speak, and you speak with your dollars and with your viewing habits. That's what they pay attention to, guys. They don't pay attention. They listen to Twitter, but Twitter is not going to get the women on TV. It's not. You have to watch it. You have to support them in real time.
Yeah.
And that's what we stress here on this show.
Yeah, exactly. And if they put the belt on somebody who you already like, then it shouldn't be a big deal to support them, in that. And, cause one of the things Naomi actually said in one of the interviews she did, not too long ago, they've been pushing for it because in her own words, basically if you make this new championship, then they have to put it on TV and they have to write stuff about it for it.
Yeah.
As it's easy to ignore the women who are not in the world title picture. It's just out of habit. It's easier for them just to not do, to not pay much attention to them because, that don't have anything to fight for. And that's just, that's, we're talking decades of just habit, basically. You know, and it, it's, you know, that's just what it is. And so by creating this thing now, it, she even said this, this kind of forces them to write something for more women to, because they can't just let this thing sit there and collect dust, basically. Yeah. So they're doing that. We give them credit for doing it. And now again, they need to pick the right person, but assuming they do that, then, you know, the ball is in our court as fans.
Yeah. So, well, guys, I got nothing else to add unless Jason has a final thought.
I'm sick of fantasy booking Evolution 2. Make it happen.
Yeah. That's the next step. Let's get the U.S. Championship off the ground. Let's get it. Let's make it a thing. Let's get it going, and let's get to Evolution 2. That's the next step, guys.
Yeah, now to that, and so, but, you know, they need everybody back for that, though.
This is true. This is true. So
they're not booking that show with the roster they have with the people who are present right now.
Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. We need some names to sell that show. So, all right, guys, I think we've had a solid episode tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm awake.
Now we woke Rob up. We got him all fired up. We got him moving. We got him talking, and now he's awake. And that happens with me too on these episodes, man. Sometimes I go to bed and I don't go right to sleep just because I'm amped up. I'm fired up. We had a great discussion. We had a lot of fun. I hope you guys listening did as well. I like doing the smash or trash things. And if we continue to get good feedback on that, we'll come up with some more topics down the line and do that. In the coming weeks, we are inching closer and closer to Survivor Series. We're going to have a lot to talk about over the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to all that. Before we get out of here, let me go back around the room and thank my co-host from the Rob the Genius podcast, the host of that show. Rob, I have screwed your intro and your outro up tonight, man.
And just for that.
Oh, boy.
Just for that. It was 10 years ago. Not 10 years ago. I'm sorry. It was 7 years ago today. On Friday, on SmackDown, it wasn't Friday Night SmackDown, it was Tuesday Night SmackDown. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina, that the 14-time women's champion won the SmackDown Women's Championship for the first time. So happy 7th anniversary, winning your first SmackDown Women's Championship. Charlotte, thank you.
And she beat Natalya, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Jason, sir, good show tonight, man.
Good stuff. I had a lot of fun.
This was fun. I enjoyed it. All right, everybody, thank you again for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.